भगवते वासुदेवाय हिरण्यरूप्यवांसि शीलांश्चाकुरमिश्रितान् प्रदाद् तेनुश्च विप्रेभ्यो राजा विधिविदं वरः Outstanding in his knowledge of regulative principles, the king rewarded the Brahmins with gold, silver, clothing, cows, and sesame seeds mixed with raw sugar. Raja Dhammaghosh, lord of Chedi, had also engaged Brahmins expert in chanting mantras to perform all rituals necessary to assure his son's prosperity. King Dhammaghosh traveled to Kundina accompanied by armies of elephants exuding mada, chariots hung with golden chains, and numerous cavalry and infantry soldiers. Bhishmaka, the lord of Vidarbha, came out of the city and met King Dhammaghosh, offering him tokens of respect. Bhishmaka then settled Dhammaghosh in a residence especially constructed for the occasion. Shishupala's supporters, Shalva, Jarasandha, Dantavakra, and Vidurata all came, along with Pondraka and thousands of other kings. Purport. Those familiar with the history of Lord Krishna's life will immediately recognize the names given in this text. The kings mentioned here maintained a deep animosity toward Sri Krishna and opposed him in one way or another, but they were all to be frustrated and defeated on the occasion of Shishupal's would-be wedding. I'm very grateful to all who have assembled today. Thank you very much. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 53, entitled Krishna Kidnaps Rukmini, Text 13 through 17. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Shikshastakam, gave us the verse Ashlisya Vapadiratam Panashtumam, a culmination of pure love that is awakened through the chanting of the holy names, unmotivated, unconditional love. This is the very essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhakti rhokshajai aitiki aprati hata yayatma supraseded. This encapsulates very much the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. The supreme dharma, is that which awakens from within us, loving service to the Supreme Truth or to Krishna. And such loving service is unmotivated by selfishness, egoism, or any material consideration. And it is uninterrupted by whatever circumstance may come. In other words, samsidhir haritoshanam. Love for God is when our thoughts, our words, our actions are for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. Not according to our whims, our preferences, or our speculations, but with a genuine desire to please Krishna. And we find in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, again and again, great personalities who demonstrated this character. Sometimes they achieved it through their sadhana. Sometimes they took shelter of the Lord through the most painful, difficult circumstances. Other times it was just by the association of great souls or by their own natures that love was prominent. In the case of Dhruva Maharaj, it was tragedy, crisis, that brought him to take shelter of the Lord. He wanted revenge, and he didn't know how to deal with it. But his guru Narada Muni taught him, seeking revenge will only hurt you. His mother told him the same thing. When his original first guru, his mother, showed him the path, she said, "My son, if you wish any harm to others, it will only pollute your own consciousness." Even those who have hurt him so bad. And Narada Muni taught him, just don't worry about those things. Just take shelter of Krishna. Fix your mind on Krishna. Worship his deity. Chant his holy names. Meditate on him. Render service to him. And through that total absorption, Dhruva learned how to take shelter. Little Prahlad, like gold is purified by fire. When he was in the womb of his mother, very difficult circumstance, he was about to be killed by the demigods. The demigods kidnapped Hiranyakashipu's wife while he was away, with the determination that when this child is born, we will kill him. He must be killed. But Narada Muni took her with the permission of the demigods and preached Srimad Bhagavatam to her. And little Prahlad in the womb heard it all. So from that time, he fixed his mind on Krishna, knowing Krishna is my only shelter. And so he was a pure soul when he was born. But as his father put him in the most difficult situations, his love for Krishna, his taking shelter of Krishna, just became purer and brighter and brighter and brighter. In fact, it lit up the whole world. His father would have just let him be. His example would not be, for millions and millions of years, one of the shining lights for everyone's life. So the difficulties he endured only increased the quality of his service, which is the only thing he wanted. The gopis, the gopas, Ambarish Maharaj, they were all put in difficult situations. Durvas Muni wanted to kill Ambarish. Ambarish, Krishna, if you want to kill me, I'm ready. If you want to save me, I have nothing to fear. I'm yours. That was his example. Just gave his heart to Krishna. He was really not concerned with the circumstances of material existence. As a king, it was his duty to try to make all these circumstances as good as possible for his citizens to facilitate their Krishna consciousness. But ultimately for himself, it was just about pleasing Krishna. And the gopis, every day, demons would come to Vrindavan, and the Brijavasis, they just took shelter of Krishna. But when he left, that was the real test. And they shone brightest at that time. In separation from Krishna, their love was so bright that even Uddhava and great people of the Yadus recognized the supremacy of their devotion. In other words, it was unmotivated, uninterrupted. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna, tasting the sweetness of Sri Radha's supreme Mahabhav, purest love, came to teach us that mood of love and how to achieve it. Shikshastakam, these verses, are his own personal composition to guide humanity. He instructed the six Goswamis, especially Rupa Goswami, to establish these principles. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu essentially was the personification of the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam culminates with Sri Radha's love. We read about all these great devotees that we have been speaking about and more, and ultimately the gopis and the gopas, and the source of all that love, and the supreme whole of all that love, and the ultimate expression of that love beyond all others is the Ladini Shakti, Sri Radha's love for Krishna. That's the ultimate culmination of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is revealed by Shukadeva Goswami in the story of the Ras Lila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes in this age of Kali, at a time when there's so much pollution, so much terrorism and envy and immorality. We see what it's like in Kali Yuga now. And it's still at the beginning stages. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came at this time, in this season, to personally give this love. Sri Rupa Goswami And Sanatana Goswami brought a large library of all the Vedic literatures. They were great scholars. They brought to Vrindavan and extracted this, the love of the residents of Vrindavan, to be the very highest realization of all knowledge. The Shikshastakam culminates, if we're actually chanting Hare Krishna properly, Trinada Bisuni Chena, and the result, and what we should pray for, is this unconditional love. Krishna, if you like, you can embrace me, or you can trample on me, or you can make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. But in all circumstances, I am yours as your servant unconditionally. This is what the Gaudiya Sampradaya teaches. This goal. This is the aspiration that we are taught to aspire for. And to see nothing else of any true value. There are many spiritual teachers who promise all sorts of material benefits and assets if we follow them, if we follow their path, their meditation, their particular processes. You can think better. You can feel a little more peace. You can be more prosperous. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srimad Bhagavatam, all the Vedas ultimately are teaching not that, but unconditional, unmotivated, loving service to the Lord. Rukmini, she was hearing about Krishna, never saw him. But just by hearing, her natural love awakened for him. That's the power of this process of Shravanam Kirtanam. When we chant about Krishna, when we hear about Krishna, that sound vibration is Krishna. It's not a symbolic representation. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. When Krishna left this world, and Kali Yuga immediately began. And then he descended as the Srimad Bhagavatam to give light in this darkness of Kali. And the culmination of Srimad Bhagavatam is that we should chant the holy names and bow down with humility in a mood of service to Krishna. And then we will, by Krishna's grace, rise above all of our sinful tendencies. So here, Rukmini, by hearing about Krishna, she wanted to give her heart, her life, to serve Krishna. And if we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, from people who actually are in this parampara of pure devotional service, this is the effect it could have if we are truly eager. Transformation. And we see how it has happened. We are beginning the marathon for distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. All over the world, actually, tens and thousands of devotees will be united jointly to distribute these beautiful books. This is the Krishna Katha of Srila Prabhupada. He considered this so important. Why? Because our previous acharyas gave so much emphasis on this. But his contribution was very unique. Because our previous acharyas, mostly, they wrote these books, their books in Sanskrit, sometimes Bengali. And their audience was transformed. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted this message, and he had Nityananda Prabhu prophesize every town and village in the world this message of pure unalloyed devotion, the essence of Dharma. Thakur Bhakti Vinod, he sent the first English literature on the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya to the West. And that happened to be the year that Srila Prabhupada appeared within this world, 1896. And he was instructed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur's most illustrious, empowered son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, great Paramhamsa Acharya, to spread this message in English, which is a very prominent language in the world today. And his books have been translated in almost every major language, so that common people could receive this Krishna Katha. And the result, if people just open their hearts to hear it, they become transformed. And many of you who are here today have very much been transformed. Your very values and quality of life, whereas your conception of Krishna and religion was something, sometimes. Now, how to please Krishna, how to surrender to Krishna, how to be an instrument of Krishna's compassion, that's the success and goal in life. It's very rare that we clearly have that understanding without the association of the great souls in Parampara. And Srila Prabhupada's books is very much foundational to the message of all the different devotees who have been teaching us transformation. Recently, in New York City, Shutikirti Prabhu, who was Prabhupada's personal servant for several years, he was giving a class. And he explained how sometimes he would come in Prabhupada's room and Prabhupada would be reading Bhagavad Gita as it is. Prabhupada would say, "I did not write this. Krishna wrote it." This was not, from Prabhupada's perspective, he was the instrument, he was the medium. He took Krishna's words and the explanations of the greatest, most enlightened acharyas of the past and brought them all together with his own love, realization, and great compassion to present it to the whole world. And he gave so much of his life, so much of his energy. And when he would read the books, he would just hear Krishna speaking. He said to Shutikirti Prabhu, "If you just read this one book, Bhagavad Gita, your life will be perfect." Then a couple months later, Shutikirti Prabhu came in his room and he was reading Bhagavad Gita.
He said, if you just read one chapter of this book, your life will be perfect.
And a couple months later, he came in the room. Prabhupada was reading Bhagavad Gita.
He said, if you just read one sloka, one verse of this book, your life will be perfect.
A few months later, he came in the room.
He said, if you just understand one word of this book, your life will be perfect.
Because it's Krishna's words. But what does it mean to understand? Jnana vijnana triptatma. Understanding comes tadvidhi pranipatina pariprashnina sevaya. Understanding means realization. It's not just an intellectual clarity. To understand means transformation, realization. Adoshutatata sadhu sangota bhajanakri. At the beginning, there's a little faith. And when Krishna sees that faith, he reciprocates. Krishna takes every little thing so seriously. Even a spark of faith, Krishna will see it as something wonderful, beautiful, and give us an opportunity to make it grow. So by Krishna's grace, we're given the association of devotees. And in that association, we hear. And if we hear with a desire, with a submissive heart, with an eagerness to know, with a sense of urgency, the need to know, and a desire to actually follow what is there, that is seva. Seva means to put into life what we hear. Not only the actions, but the content of the consciousness in which we perform our actions. We can understand even one verse in that spirit, we will know Krishna. Krishna will reveal himself to us. So distributing Srila Prabhupada's books is to give people that same benediction that transformed Rukmini's heart, to hear about Krishna, to hear about his qualities, to hear his own words, his own teachings. And just the act of humbly trying, enthusiastically trying to be an instrument of this mercy, this grace, is such a great service and will receive such blessings. So I wholeheartedly encourage all of you to not only reach millions of people's hearts through this service, but also it will create a beautiful unity in our own family and also give great inspiration to people and devotees all over the world. Rukmini decided, I want to give my life to Krishna. Even though on the material side there were so many impediments and other arrangements. Rukmi, her brother, was so envious. He wanted to give his sister to Shishupal. We have discussed these topics. When Krishna heard her prayer, and her prayer was, my Lord, I am yours. I don't deserve you. I'm unqualified. If you don't see me fit to be your wife, and I have to be married to Shishupal, that's not your fault, that's my fault. She told Krishna, that she was surrendering her heart to him. She told him how he could kidnap her. But she also expressed, if you don't come, I understand that it is because of my own shortcomings. But even if 10 million births or more, I will continue to fix my mind only on you 24 hours a day. And I will do penances to serve you, to show my love for you in all circumstances. So Rukmini was unmotivated. She revealed this highest form of pure devotion. She was not demanding Krishna, you fulfill my desire and I will accept you as my Lord. Krishna, I want you, I'm praying for you, I'm crying for you, I'm calling for you, but you are so beautiful and you are so great and I am so unqualified. If by your causeless mercy you pick me up, please come. If not, then I will continue to purify myself by remembering you, by fasting, by serving you, by chanting your holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And it was this pure devotion, steeped in humility, unconditional. No matter what happened, little Prahlad, he wasn't thinking, Krishna, why are you doing this to me? He was thinking, Krishna, I'm yours, do whatever you like. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote in one of his beautiful songs, Manaso deho geho cho kichu mor arpilum tu alpade nandakishor. My body, my family, my property, my very life, everything is your property, Krishna. I surrender it to you. If you want, you can protect me. Or if you like, you can kill me. I am your servant unconditionally. It is this state that makes us fearless. It is this state only that makes us actually happy. Because it's an offering of love. It's our nature. Sharanagati is not just superficially doing what we're told. Sharanagati is this consciousness. And Krishna puts us through difficult situations and frustrates our aspirations, our desires, even materially, spiritually, everything, to help us to understand that this is what it really is about. If Krishna just gave us what we wanted, we would become complacent just getting what we want and thinking, yes, Krishna, thank you. This is very nice. But when it's not like that, then we have to really go deeply into the spirit of what real surrender, what real love is. And the deeper we go, the more we find Krishna reveals himself to us. And that's where real love is. So Krishna got on his chariot with the Brahmin who delivered the message to rescue Rukmini. And here we find in the city of Kundina,
in the province of Vidarbha, the marriage is beginning. Rukmini is up all night crying, where is the Brahman? Why has he not come back? Is it that Krishna has rejected me? Maybe because of my faults, Krishna doesn't want me. Or maybe Krishna started coming and the Brahman was with him, and then he realized that, oh, actually, she still has so many anartas, she's not worthy of me. And the Brahman was so brokenhearted, he knew that it would devastate me, so he's afraid to tell me the message. So she's thinking like this. This is her humility. She's not angry. She's not demanding. She's praying. Still there's some time. Maybe Krishna will come. And then on her left side, her eyes and her body was feeling a little tremble, which is considered auspicious. And then the Brahman came in. And the Brahman looked so blissful. Rukmini didn't even have to ask him. Just by seeing how happy the Brahman looked, she knew that Krishna was going to come for her. And the Brahman said that he has come. And he promised he will take you back to Dwarka. How happy Rukmini was. But her happiness was like a devotee. In a humble sense of gratitude. She wasn't thinking, oh, I'm so great, I'm going to marry Krishna. She was thinking, you, Brahman, you are so great. You delivered this message of Krishna to me. What can I give you? This is how we should feel toward those who give us Krishna's message. Srila Prabhupada's books are Krishna's message. How we should be grateful for those who give, and how we should be grateful to have the opportunity to give. So, Rukmini is Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. And in this particular incarnation of her, she is the daughter of Bhishmaka, great king. And she is having so much luxury and so much wealth, so much everything. But this little message of the Brahman, he just said, Krishna will come. She was so happy. She was so grateful that he helped her to actually get the message to Krishna and bring Krishna's message back. She felt, I absolutely have no way to repay you. So instead of giving him all sorts of gifts, which she felt were completely insufficient, she bowed down at the feet of the Brahman. Bowing down means she gave her life. She gave her heart to him. This is the spirit of bowing down. If we can only bow down once with the spirit of Rukmini, that one bow will liberate us from material existence forever. But at least we can practice the consciousness of what it means to bow down. Yes, it is an etiquette that should be followed. Yes, it's a tradition that's sacred. But everything we do, the spirit of how we do it is very important too. Sometimes we think, oh, Vaishnav, now I have to bow down again. But actually, bowing down is to Krishna in the heart of this Vaishnav. And to this Vaishnav is personifying Krishna's grace in my life. So when we bow down, bowing means putting our head on the ground. That's an act of really humbling ourselves. Yes? Putting head on ground is quite relevant. Not only in the ground, but when you put your head in the ground, you're actually putting the meditations on putting it under your feet. Hare Krishna. It's humbling ourselves with gratitude for the grace that Krishna is giving me through you. So Rukmini, she bows to the Brahman. It's all I have is my life. But she was so pleased. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur tells that even though she didn't give anything to the Brahman except her heart, her humble gratitude, when he came home, he saw that his home actually became filled with treasures and riches, even though he didn't want it. He got to see Krishna because of Rukmini. And he got to ride in a chariot all night with Krishna. And he got, ultimately, more than anything else, he got to see the joy of Rukmini when she received Krishna's message. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam tells he was the purest and most fortunate of all Brahmins. So in these verses we are reading today, King Bhishmaka, who really wanted his daughter to marry Krishna. Somehow or other he wasn't able to do so because his eldest son, Rukmi, who was the crown prince, who was supposed to be the next king, he was obsessed and determined for his sister to marry Shishupal. He didn't ask his father's permission. He just arranged it. Bhishmaka just wanted the best for his daughter. So he made the whole kingdom so nice. Ultimately, it was for welcoming Krishna. And Shishupal, he comes with his father, Damagosh. And Bhishmaka has Brahmins performing all these rituals and yajnas and chanting mantras. And Damagosh, the father of Shishupal, is having the same thing done with his Brahmins. So it's quite an event. But the word got out that Rukmini was in love with Krishna. So Shishupal and Rukmi, they wanted to make sure there would be no interference. So today's verse, Shishupal's supporters, and this is just a few of them, Shalva, Jarasandha, Dantavakra, Vidurata, they all came along with Pondraka. And thousands of other like-minded kings. And they all brought their full armies for one purpose, to make sure Krishna doesn't interfere with this marriage. So they had everything really planned well. And these people were brilliant. And then Krishna comes. And Balaram heard that Krishna just went alone with the Brahman. I'll get Rukmini. And Balaram heard about what was going on, and he also heard how all these millions of soldiers with all these armies of Jarasandha and Dandavakra, they're all going to go, and they're all going to oppose Krishna. So Balaram, out of affection for his little brother, he brought a whole army of the Yadus to come to assist. So they all arrive. And Bhishmaka is very happy. And it describes here in Srimad Bhagavatam how the residents of Vidarbha, they heard that Krishna came. And they had also heard Krishna's pastimes. As a cowherd boy, his Vrindavan Leela, his Mathura Leela, his Dwarka Leela. They were really eager to see Krishna. So here is Rukmi, that Shishupal is the bridegroom who's going to be celebrated. But all the people of the town went to see Krishna. Nobody, the bridegroom is usually the person everyone wants to see. And tradition is riding in big horses or elephants, or today a car with flowers on it. But Shishupal's there with his armies and everything, and then the news comes that Krishna has arrived. And everyone wanted to see the beauty and the greatness of Krishna. And when the citizens of Vidarbha saw Krishna, even though they were all there for her marriage to Shishupal, they were all praying that only Krishna should marry Rukmini, and only Rukmini should marry Krishna. And all the citizens, they were praying and praying and praying that let all my religious services, let everything I've ever done good in my life, let it all be offered and given up so that Rukmini will marry Krishna. He is the only one worthy of Rukmini, and she is the only one worthy of him. So everyone there very much fell in love with Krishna. And Rukmini was brought to the temple of Bhavani, the wife of Lord Shiva, Ambika, or Durga. Because this was a family deity, and it's the tradition that certain rituals are performed before the marriage. So as she was in procession, there was her family members. She was surrounded by guards with swords and weapons. And there were Brahmins' wives chanting mantras and bringing gifts and doing all kinds of pujas. And there was all the court ladies and the maidens. They were all chanting beautiful songs and walking together. And when they came to the temple of Bhavani, the Brahmins' wives and the Brahmins who were performing the services, they were chanting mantras so that Rukmini would marry Krishna. Because they loved Rukmini. And they knew that only Krishna will make her happy. So even though they're chanting the same mantras that everybody thought was, they were chanting the standard mantras, which people thought it was for her to marry Shishupal. In their hearts, they were meditating on Krishna. In their hearts, let you be not obstructed in any way, shape, or form from giving your heart and your life in marriage to Krishna, only Krishna. This was their meditation. This was their prayer to Bhavani. And that was Rukmini's prayer. And then she comes out of the temple, and she's surrounded by all of these people. And as she's coming out, Jarasandha, Salva, Dantavakra, Vidurata, Pondraka,
and thousands of other kings with all their armies. They're all poised, ready for battle if Krishna does anything. Because Krishna's right there. And Maharaj Bhishmaka himself, the father, he's praying. Krishna, you're the only one. You're the one who should marry my daughter. Only Rukmi was against it in the family. Rukmini comes out, and she's looking on the ground. She's so beautiful. And the kings, all of these great kings, they can't actually see Rukmini directly. Because she's the Haladini Shakti. She's the internal potency of the Lord. She was manifesting herself to them as Maya. They were not seeing Rukmini, they were seeing Mahamaya, her energy. And the energy of Mahamaya that they were witnessing was so totally attractive to them. It was so enticing, so amorous, so beautiful that these great, sober kings, they were fainting. They dropped their weapons and fainted. So this was very nice. Mahamaya was making all these nice arrangements. They were all fainting at the beauty of Rukmini. And Shishupal, he was looking at the lady that he had completely given his heart to. He was totally infatuated by this Maya representation of Rukmini. It's very interesting. In Shishupal's previous life, he was Ravana. Ravana abducted Sita. He took Sita away from Ram and brought her to Sri Lanka. And there was a great fight to bring her back. And ultimately Ravana was destroyed, along with his whole family. So here, Shishupal, Ravana has come back to do the same thing. He tried to steal Sita, and he failed. Sounds appropriate, actually. It's not a Hollywood soundtrack, but it's a Bollywood soundtrack. So he failed. And now Ravana is coming as Shishupal to steal the same Sita who has come as Rukmini. But this, and it's so close. Ravana, for about 10 months, he had Sita. And he was just demanding, "You marry me." And she kept saying, "No, no, I will never marry you." And her mind was completely fixed on Ram 24 hours a day, chanting Ram's name. And Ravana was threatening, "If you don't marry me and become my bride, I will kill you and eat you." He was trying everything. He was threatening her, he was enticing her, he was dressing real nice for her, he was showing his prowess to her. He was offering her everything. He was putting his head on her feet. He was begging her. He was doing everything to marry Sita. Here, in his next birth, it's the actual marriage day. Ravana never came so close.
But now it's actually the day of the marriage and Sita's in Rukmini with Sita, her father, Bhishmaka, her mother, everybody has arranged the whole marriage for him. So now Shishupal is really excited. But yayatamam prapadyante tamsta daiva gajamya. As you approach Krishna, Krishna reciprocates accordingly. Ravana kidnapped Sita. So now, Krishna's going to kidnap Rukmini. And similarly, we read in Ramayana, Srila Prabhupada writes that in Ravana's army, he had a massive military, the biggest military on earth, the most powerful military on earth. And all of these soldiers had the best weapons, the best artillery, and many of them were Maharatis and mystics who could perform all sorts of illusions. They were unconquerable. And Ram, he just had some monkeys. And the monkeys didn't even have weapons. If you read Ramayana, they were not fighting with clubs. They were fighting with trees and stones. They were just picking up anything in their claws and their teeth. So here we find thousands and thousands of all of these very envious, evil allies of Shishupal and Rukmi have assembled to fight against Krishna. And Rukmini, she's looking down as all these people are fainting. She don't want to see them. She only wanted to see Krishna. And she looked up, and there, just in the crowd among so many, was Krishna. And instantly, she just gave her heart. And Krishna gave his heart. And Krishna just grabbed her, put her in his chariot, and started crying. Right in the middle of everything. This is the difference between Ravana and Ram, who appeared as Krishna in this sense. Ravana had to disguise himself and send Ram away and come when Sita was all alone to kidnap her. But Krishna orchestrated it so that Shishupal was standing right there and all of his allies and all of their armies, and they were fully equipped and ready. Yes? And Krishna just takes her. They were outraged. And they were blaspheming Krishna. He's just a foolish little cowherd boy who's puffed up by his powers just because he killed some people. He thinks he's so great. He thinks he can fight us. We will destroy him. And all the armies and all these kings, they all went to attack Krishna. They were totally... it's not that they were caught off guard, because they were on guard. But Krishna is the supreme... he's Madan Mohan. He can enchant even Cupid, what to speak of demons. He bewildered them. They're all ready. And he just goes right in the middle among all of them and just takes Rukmini, takes her by the hand, puts him on his chariot and goes. They're all thinking, how did he do that? What did he do? We can't tell them. We just failed. They were really angry, outraged, insulted. They were blaspheming Krishna with so many terrible words, and they went charged toward him. And the little group of Yadus, as well as Krishna and Balaram, completely defeated them. Shishupal was absolutely depressed. It was just too much. When Krishna wants to crush you, he does it thoroughly. But it's always for our good. Whether we're devotees or not devotees, it's always ultimately for our good. So here is Shishupal. He's totally madly in love with Krishna. He's just on the verge of getting married to Rukmini. He's looking at her. Oh, she's mine. And right there in front of all of his friends and all of his soldiers, Krishna just takes her away. And it's really an insult because he could not defend. He could not defend himself. He totally failed. And all the armies of all of the people who came assembled with them, they were all defeated. And ultimately, Jarasandha came back. And he starts preaching to Shishupal. It's all right. You can't be attached. He knows the philosophy. Seventh canto, Hiranyakashipu, when he was preached after Hiranyaksha got killed, he was preaching pure Vedic philosophy to the wife of Hiranyaksha and to his mother. But you're not the body, you're the eternal soul, everything is under higher powers. The only problem is his conclusions were not right. He knew all the philosophy, he knew all the slokas and everything like that. But his conclusion was not to surrender to Krishna. So similarly, Jarasandha, he starts preaching to Shishupal. Actually, destiny, time, it's beyond our control sometimes. He said, even me, I was defeated by Krishna 17 times, but I didn't give up. I still haven't given up. And then after Krishna defeated me 17 times and I kept going, because I knew destiny was in the favor of Krishna, but soon it will be in my favor. And then I defeated Krishna. He ran away. He's proudly saying. So just be patient, keep your determination, don't give up. But Shishupal's really broken. Not just because he lost the love of his life, but it was the ultimate humiliation. When you're talking about how miserably bad somebody is your whole life, from his birth, he was blaspheming Krishna. And he was really very intelligently blaspheming Krishna. In the sense, he wasn't just like all kinds of crazy things. He was coming up with facts and distorting them so that people would believe it. He's just a useless cowherd boy. And he would take Krishna's activities. He's stealing butter. He's a thief, and he's still really vicious, angry, envious. That's all he did. Just tell people how bad Krishna is and how great he is. That's his whole life. And now the culmination in front of everybody, in front of the whole world, broadcasted forever in Srimad Bhagavatam. Other Puranas. It's the biggest news of the universe. Right in front of him. Krishna just effortlessly takes her away. And defeats all of his armies. And defeats him, defeats everyone. So his prestige is crushed.
But instead of coming to the conclusion, you know, Krishna is God.
He can't give up his envy.
He becomes depressed. And all the other soldiers, they realize they're totally defeated by Krishna. There's nothing they can do. But Rukmi, this was such an insult to him, because this was all his arrangements. His prestige is really on the line. All these great kings who were envious. Because people, what is that saying? Birds of a feather flock together. Like-minded people have an attraction for each other. Yes? Just like Srila Prabhupada uses the example, if there's garbage or rotten sewage on the street, so many flies will come together because they like the taste of it. Yes? You will not see bumblebees or honeybees. They will all go where the flower is. But the flies will all come together because they have a common interest. So the common interest of all of these soldiers and all of these kings was they wanted to enjoy separately from Krishna. They wanted to be controller, proprietor, and enjoyer. But ultimately, Krishna is the supreme proprietor, enjoyer, and controller. So they were envious. If we understand our eternal identity is servant, then we come together with people who love to serve. But if we have envy in our heart, then we have a natural affinity toward other people who are envious, because they support us, they justify us, they give validity to our envy, they give authority to our envy. And that's so much what the material world is about. Satsang is so important because it gives credibility to our faith. And when there are so many forces in Kali Yuga and material energy that's trying to abduct our consciousness. Braj Bihari Prabhu gave class a few days ago. Could you share that example? That Rukmi is like the mind that's trying. Give the microphone and he will give this really nice example.
I'd heard from some devotees' classes that Rukmi is like the mind and Bhishmaka is like the intelligence. And Rukmini represents the devotee. And Rukmini wanted to marry Krishna. Similarly, devotees want to serve Krishna. But and the intelligence also, we know that we should serve, like Bhishmaka wanted to give his daughter. Similarly, we, our intelligence also knows, but the mind, Rukmi, is so powerful that we are helpless. And Rukmi wants to give Rukmini to Shishupal. Similarly, the mind wants us to serve Maya. And then, just like Brahmana, she took shelter of a Brahmana who helped her. Devotees are to take shelter of Vaishnavas. Spiritual must. Hare
Krishna. Thank you, thank you.
So Rukmi, single-handedly with his armies, he takes a vow. Before all the other kings, I will kill Krishna. I will not let him get away with this insult. I vow I will never come back to my kingdom unless I bring Rukmini back to marry Shishupal. And he was so convinced that he could conquer Krishna. That's the nature of the mind. And
He attacked Krishna. He started shooting arrows at him. He was hitting Krishna with his arrows. And Krishna removed his bow, and he picked up another bow, and Krishna removed that bow, and Krishna removed his chariot, and Krishna removed everything. He was trying to give him a chance. Just go home. But he wouldn't give up. Krishna's giving him every indication. You can't win. Picked up a bow, and Krishna, the bow's gone. Picks up another one. Picks up a club. Throws it at Krishna. Krishna shoots an arrow. The club disappears. Picks up a trident and throws it at Krishna. Trident disappears. Nothing's left. Still, he's so angry. He has just completely lost his intelligence. And he takes a sword and runs toward Krishna to personally fight him like that, hand to hand. And Krishna destroys his sword and his shield. And then Krishna effortlessly ties him up with a piece of cloth. And now he's like a captured animal. Can't move. And Rukmini, she saw that Krishna had his sword. And she started to cry. He's my brother. Please don't kill him. So Krishna, he took his sword and cut his hair in certain really artistic ways. Shaved his mustache partially, and his beard partially, and his hair partially, and he was very artistically done, so he looked totally ugly. And every now and then, just to make the artistic, you know, masterpiece look special, he would draw some blood, and it was like blood and hairs moved, and he looked really like a total fool. And he was tied up, so he couldn't do anything about it. And Balaram, he was speaking nice philosophy to Rukmini to pacify her. So in this way, Rukmi never went back to his city. He built his own city with the ultimate aim of vengeance. So this incredible story shows how Krishna gives everyone every possible chance. But the free will of the spirit soul, birth after birth, creation after creation, unless by our own free will we humble ourselves to understand we're eternally the servant of Krishna, we can continue almost endlessly serving the envy within our heart. But ultimately everyone will go back. Material creation is made that way. And Rukmini was so happy. She's now on the chariot with Krishna. And Krishna drives her back to Dwarka. And the whole of Dwarka is decorated for the marriage of Krishna and Rukmini. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Maharaji, in the beginning you are speaking about pure devotional service. Krishna will do anything and everything to bring us on that level of pure devotional standard. And in our life also, which we see that Krishna puts lots of hardship, tragedy, difficulties to bring us on that level. But the standard which Mahaprabhu is saying about Asli Shiva Padartham is too high. Its too standard is too high. How can we check, Maharaj, that after getting those tragedies, hardships and difficulties in our life, we are learning our lesson and we are going on the pure devotional platform? Because devotees and everybody will go on speaking anything and everything. You are advancing this, that, everything. But we have to go on checking by ourselves that are we, whatever the tragedies and hardship that has gone in our life, we are learning our lesson and we are advancing on the platform which Krishna is expecting from us. That we ourselves from internally, we have to check it. What is the standard point or what is the tactics which we can find it by ourselves that we are going on that platform?
What college did you go to?
Management college. Hmm? Management college, Narasimha Ji, management studies.
Speak clearly, I can't understand.
I did management, that is MMS.
MBA.
MBA.
Which college?
From Narasimha Ji Management Studies.
Okay. So the first day you were in college, did you have MBA? You had nothing, yes? But you had the way to get the MBA. And you had that as your goal. And you didn't give up. And you followed the teachings and learned the lessons and went to the classes. And years, how many years till you got MBA?
At the age of 23.
Now, how many years in college?
MBA, it took 2 years, but before that I had to complete for 21 years for graduation.
21 years. So, Ashlisyava Padaratham Panashtumam is the PhD, not the MBA. Beyond MBA. It's the PhD of spiritual studies. Yes? So it's not that you think, well, MBA, I don't have it. What can I do? It's so you just go step by step, one class after another, and you keep your goal in the forefront of your life. And you accept what's favorable for devotional service and reject what's unfavorable. Shikshastakam is to teach us step by step how to approach that, but that's our goal. We shouldn't be distracted from what the goal is. And however far away we are from that goal, we know for sure that if we just follow the process carefully, as Lord Chaitanya has taught us, with the proper spirit, character, then that will be given to us. So when we read these beautiful verses about what selfless, pure, unalloyed devotion is, when we hear about the love of gopis and Prahlad and these great personalities, we don't get discouraged. I'm so far from that. We're actually grateful and encouraged that by the grace of Prabhupada and Vaishnavas, we're being given the path by which I can achieve that. It's given by grace. If you just follow carefully with a desire to serve and please, with that as our goal, then Krishna gives us that. It may take 21 years, even if it takes 21 lifetimes. The soul is eternal. We should always be grateful and encouraged. Does that answer your question?
Well, yeah, I agree, but I should know that at least I've started.
What does it take for you to know? Started means adosha datata sadhu sangota bhajanakriya. You were brought in the association of devotees, yes? That's a really big start. After millions and millions and millions of births, you've been given the association of devotees. And bhajanakriya, you chant your rounds. You come to Srimad Bhagavatam class. You ask relevant questions sometimes. Yes. You're rendering service. You got married to a wonderful Vaishnavi. You have a wonderful son who loves to serve Krishna. You're encouraging him? Yes. You've come a long, 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 long way. Not just started. So be grateful. Don't become proud. Be humble. Humbled by the gifts you've been given. And don't give up. You see, if you pass one exam, if you just say, okay, that's good enough, I'll stop my studies, you don't get your MBA. So similarly, whatever failures, whatever successes may appear on our path, we just keep moving forward by following the process with the proper attitude. Then it is given to us. I wonder what Shukadev Goswami would have said if Ananda Vrindavan was asking him questions. When Parikshit Maharaj asked Shukadev Goswami questions, Shukadev Goswami said, your questions are giving me so much happiness and so much thrill because it's about Krishna. So your questions give everyone that experience. Is there any other questions?
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Thank you for such a spiritually enlivening class, Maharaj. I really liked the way you compared Ravana situation and Shishupal situation very nicely. Also, in the beginning part of your class, you said some very things very valuable for the sadhakas also, Maharaj. So I had one question about one of the points you made. About Charanagati, you said is not superficially doing what we are told externally, but taking shelter of Krishna, you know, with the heart. So my question was about doing the things externally in Vaidhi Bhakti, and then gradually they go from the head to the heart, you know. Then a person internalizes those principles, and at a certain stage, the realization is done, you know. So from knowledge to understanding to realization. So this blossoming of spiritual practice with one putting the heart in the practice with full consciousness. So how does it develop from the theoretical understanding and doing things externally? If you can kindly tell us, it will be very helpful, Maharaj. Thank you.
In Srila Prabhupada's books, what is most emphasized is not just the mechanics of what we're supposed to do. That is certainly there, and it is necessary. But what we should aspire for while we're doing it and how we should approach it. Yes, why? The Bhagavad Gita tells us what to do, but most of the Gita is the consciousness in which we should do it, the understanding in which we should do it. And Srimad Bhagavatam is giving the example of the lives of such surrendered souls. Mahajano yena gatasa panta. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the true understanding only comes through following in the footsteps of great souls. So we have the process of Vaidhi Bhakti. But at the same time, we are inspired to follow in the footsteps of those great souls in their spirit. To follow in the footsteps of their character. Krishna consciousness is never a mechanical process only. In Vaidhi Bhakti, we may be following four regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds and doing various, disciplines. But the whole purpose of what we read in our great Vaishnava scriptures is it's to please our Guru and Krishna. When Ravana and Kumbhakarna were performing their austerities, they were doing intense regulative principles beyond our abilities. But they had the wrong motivations. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to everyone, even the new devotees, take this verse, Trinadapi Sunichena, and put it on the thread of the holy names and keep it on your heart. Ultimately, bhakti is to please Krishna. Does that answer your question? As we're practicing the beginning stages of devotional service, we should understand what our goal is. Vyavashayatmaka bhutireke hakurunandana. We should be determined. Thank you very much. Humble request as a united family, let us give great pleasure and show our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada and our previous acharyas by serving together with great enthusiasm during this month of December for distributing our books. Thank you very much.